We all know the story of the three wise men. We will hear about them again next week as we reach the time in the Christian year called Epiphany, the traditional day of the Magi. Their story is always part of the Epiphany observance because they recognize Jesus as the light of God coming into the world. And that is indeed what Epiphany means, the coming of the light. In the 6th century, the three wise men became immensely popular. And in the 6th century, they began to be provided with names, which do not appear in the biblical text. And just about every church in Christendom has at least three bathrobes, so we all know the story of the three wise men. But we have almost entirely overlooked the story of the three wise women. It is found in the New Testament too, in the first two chapters of Luke's Gospel. Each of these three women played a vitally important role in the life of Jesus, and they merit, even more than the three wise men do, they merit our attention and our understanding. In many ways, these three wise women are the mothers of the church, our mothers in the faith. We remember the three wise men as bringing gifts and presenting gifts to Jesus. But the three wise women had gifts for Jesus too. And they didn't stop with Jesus. Their gifts extended through Jesus to us. So I invite your attention this morning to the three wise women. The first of them is a woman named Elizabeth. She was the wife of a priest in Jerusalem. Tradition says that Elizabeth was trained in Levitical learning. She was skilled in Aramaic and Hebrew. She knew how to read the text. She was the kind of woman to whom a pregnant, unmarried cousin would go to and spend the first trimester of her difficulty. Everybody needs a cousin like that. And to Elizabeth was given the incredible privilege of saying for the first time, Ave Maria. Hail Mary, full of grace. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Elizabeth, our mother, holds for us the gift of expectation. That which her cousin Mary carried in her womb was blessed by God, and for the world a great gift. We too, like Elizabeth, might look to the coming of Jesus with expectation, expecting that when Jesus comes to us, when Jesus comes to our world, we can expect things to change. We can expect ourselves and our world to be different because of Him. We can expect through Him that God's love and God's justice will finally embrace us, and we will fully embrace them. And because Jesus comes, we can expect ourselves and our world to be different. Our mother, Elizabeth, showed us the gift of expectation and brought it to us. Elizabeth is the first of the three wise women. The second of the three wise women is Mary, a country girl. A rabbi said that when Mary was told she was about to have a child without the benefit of marriage, Mary might well have said, "Oy vey, enough is enough already." But she didn't. "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my heart rejoices in God my Savior." Mary, despite this difficulty in her life, look to God in obedience. "Let it be with me," she said, "according to your word." Mary, our mother, holds for us the gift of obedience. Despite the shame, the difficulty, the rejection of pregnancy without marriage, she submitted herself to God's desire. You and I, too, like Mary, might look at our life and our circumstances, and hearing the call of God upon us, we might respond in obedience. Obedience like that of Mary. It means no less sacrifice for us than it did for Mary if we are to obey God's call. Sometimes I think we regard obedience to God's call as something that we can do one-handed, that we can do effortlessly, that won't cost us much of anything. But like Mary, if you and I are to hear God's call and to be obedient to it and follow God's way and go in the directions that God needs us to go, it's going to cost us something. It's going to be difficult, not comfortable. It's going to be tough for us like it was for Mary. Obedience for us means no less sacrifice than it did for her. No easier for us than it was for her. Our Mother Mary holds for us the gift of obedience and calls us to the same costly, sacrificial, willing obedience that she practiced in her life. But we have a third mother in the faith, a third wise woman. Her story is less well known than that of Mary and Elizabeth, but an important story as well. The third mother of the faith, the third wise woman. I'm not sure I would want her in my congregation. Luke says, maybe she's here. Luke says she was married for 7 years and then widowed until she was 84. She lived in the temple. Now get this. She lived in the temple, it says, where she worshiped day and night. She fasted and she prayed. Well, reading between the lines, that probably means she was a pest. She was always around, always underfoot, always criticizing the pastor, always looking for something that needed to be done that wasn't being done. That's what Anna was. That was her name, Anna. And when they brought Jesus to Jerusalem, she took one look at him and headed out into the streets. She went around town saying, "What you've been waiting for is beginning to happen now." Anna, our mother, holds for us the gift of witness. She waited, she anticipated, she hoped and fasted and prayed for years, decades, bearing witness to her confidence in God, her faith. And then when the Messiah came, she was not satisfied just to receive the gift herself and go on her way. She shouted it in the streets. You and I are called upon at Christmas to examine our lives and see how we have received this gift of the Christ. And then, like Anna, as we place ourselves in His service, whether we shout it in the streets or over the internet or wherever, however, when we place ourselves into Christ's service, we are called upon to bear witness to God's great love with our voices, with our lives, to bear witness. So there you have them. The three wise women, Elizabeth, Mary, and Anna. How much greater than the three wise men they are. How much greater indeed. Their names are recorded in the New Testament. And they did not only do something tangible which heralded the coming of Jesus, the coming of the Messiah, but they left gifts for us as well. Expectation, obedience, witness. These are the callings of the Christian life. To expect that God's goodness will make itself known to us and through us. To live in that expectation and in that hope. And then to live obediently, as did Mary. And to bear witness with all we say and do, to bear witness to the love of God for us and for all people. There was an insurance company a number of years ago that put out a leaflet, and in their insurance leaflet there was this story purported to be true. A father and two children a boy of 8 and a girl of 10, all good swimmers, entered the waters of the Atlantic at New Jersey several summers ago. When some distance from the shore, they became separated, and the father realized that they were being carried out to sea by the tide. He called out to his daughter, "Mary, I'm going to the shore for help. If you get tired, turn on your back. You can float all day on your back. I'll come back for you." Well, before long, many searchers in boats were scurrying over the face of the Atlantic Ocean, hunting for one small girl, while hundreds of people who had heard the news were gathered on the shore, anxiously waiting there. It was 4 long hours before they found her, far from land, for the tide had carried her out to sea. She was calmly swimming on her back and was not at all frightened. Cheers and tears of joy and relief greeted the rescuers when they got her back to the shore and to her family. But the child took it calmly. She said, "Daddy said he would come for me and that I could float all day. And so I swam and I floated because I knew he would come." Expectation. Obedience. Witness. How many of us have so grown in faith that we would, as it were, float on life's sea calmly, confidently, trusting in God's love, trusting in God's presence? Well, I have to admit to you, it's almost impossible, isn't it? We trust too much in ourselves. We trust in our leaders. We trust in our technology. We trust in our wealth. We trust far too much in ourselves to place our confidence outside of ourselves, to place our confidence and our trust in a God who is unseen, in a God who is unwilling to force us to do even that which is for our own good. These things are not easy things we talk about here on Sunday mornings. They're not easy things, but they're vital and important things. Expectation, obedience, witness. Our mothers, Elizabeth and Mary and Anna, have so much to teach us. We need now more than ever women and men like them if there is to be any expectation that the kingdom of God is breaking upon us, if there is to be a renewal of obedience among God's people, if there is to be in our church an enduring witness to the love of God. We need to learn these things from Elizabeth and Mary and Anna and practice them as faithful women and men day by day. When we come to Christmas, we imitate the wise men when we give gifts, because they came to the Christ child bearing gifts. I invite you to imitate the 3 wise women too, expecting God to be above all else, faithful to his family, obedient to the desires of God for our lives, and bearing witness to God's goodness as we experience it day by day. I invite you too to imitate the expectation, the obedience, the witness of the 3 wise women. Would you pray with me? You come to us in such powerful ways, especially at this time, God. We are sensitive to the ways that you are moving in our world and in us. We remember how you came to us in the child of Bethlehem. Move within us. Make our spirits and our confidence strong, that we might expect your coming to us today to be even more powerful than it was then. For we are ready and waiting. We are expecting. We are able to recognize you, for you always come to us in surprising, startling ways, unexpected ways, Give to us the gift of expectation so that we, like Elizabeth, might let our hope reside in you. And like Mary, strengthen us to obey, to follow you and your will, to hear and follow your commands, to walk as Jesus walked, without sin. Make us strong to be your obedient and faithful followers. And make of all of our lives a fitting witness to Jesus our Christ and to the gospel he speaks among us. In all that we do and say, help us to engage others that they might know you because they have known us and see you at work in our lives. These things we ask in the name of the child of Bethlehem, who is Christ our Savior. Amen.